Amen. Praise God. Now, when we start talking about, you know, money matters, this becomes real significant. Because for many individuals, you will have seasons of life where you have increase, sometimes unexpected increase, sometimes planned increase. Some individuals during this course of the time of the year, kind of the first quarter, you know, experience, you know, some increase, you know, through tax returns, tax refunds, you know. You may just be experiencing increase just because of your business blowing up, your investments, you know, prospering well. I can remember, though, sometimes where I had some seasons of increase and look back on it, and I probably didn't make the best decisions with the money. Some cases I did. Other cases I looked at and said, that one was questionable, Crawford. And God wants us to be able to make smart decisions with our money so that you can take advantage of those times of increase and make it last. Now think about this, what God did for the nation of Egypt, you know, with Joseph. Joseph now is in prison. Pharaoh has a dream, and he has it twice. Nobody can interpret the dream. Joseph, you know, gets called out of prison. They clean him up and so forth, and he comes and says, well, look, nobody can tell me what this means. Joseph gave him the interpretation, you know, and pretty much the interpretation was this. There's going to be 7 wonderful years of increase for Egypt in this land. It says, but after those 7 years, there's going to become 7 years of famine, and they're going to be so devastating, people will forget the 7 years of increase. But then Joseph gave him wisdom. He says, but if somebody, you put somebody in charge here that will collect 20% during the times of increase and save it, you'll be fine during the time of famine. Now think about this. There's a famine that shows up for 7 years, and the famine is so devastating that nations around Egypt have to come to Egypt for food. And they have enough food to not only for themselves to be able to sell to other nations as well and to sustain an entire region. How much increase must that have been in those first 7 years? That had to be some phenomenal increase if they could go through another 7 years plus with a famine. Because after the famine is over, watch this. Now you got to start the agricultural cycle all over so you don't just start getting crops automatically. So it took time, but they are well off. And obviously they become an extraordinary wealthy nation at that particular time. Why? Because they made smart decisions with the increase. Well, we're declaring there's increase coming to your life. Come on now, there's increase coming to your life, praise God. There's a wind of Almighty God at your back, and it's blowing you into a place, praise God, of abundant harvest. But now here's the word of God for you. Make smart decisions with it. So now listen to this. You see this on your notes. Studies show that over 75% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. That is something else. If a sudden major expense occurs, like a car repair or needing to buy a new appliance or something, it throws people into utter chaos. Certainly, our Father, who loves each of us dearly, doesn't want to see us in this financially strapped position. His will for us to live in a place of financial peace and freedom. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to work together to significantly improve our financial peace. You may have some good financial peace right now. It can get better. As we journey, keep this in mind. Building wealth and achieving financial peace is more about what we do with the money we have than it is how much money we make. Money Matters 2.0. Now, what I'm going to really endeavor to do for this series is to be extremely practical. I'm operating under the assumption that everyone understands this, that your Father loves you. Okay, this is not about God's plan for you. If you will, kind of don't even think God right now. Just think, my Father loves me. That there is no father, there is no parent that's in their right mind that wants bad for their children. So every parent wants great things for their children. And as a matter of fact, every good parent actually wants more for their children than what they experience. I got news for you, praise God. No, there is no better father than our Heavenly Father. So the whole mindset of financial peace is God's idea that he has for you, our Father's idea. So understand that. That's the basic, you know, premise, praise God. You got to know that up front. But therefore, there's some things that we have to understand to really be able to enjoy that financial peace. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, because what we're going to deal with here just in this week one is just what I'm calling money essentials, some basic things that we have to make sure we understand about money if we're going to make our money matter. Now, when I say money matters, this has a few different, you know, meanings. Money obviously should matter to us, but then also we want to be able to live in a place where our money matters to the kingdom of God in other people's lives. Money matters, or let's say it this way, our money makes a difference. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 10 says, "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction." So people who are longing, you know, kind of lusting after to be rich, says, you know, wind up falling into temptation, trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that wind up plunging people into ruin and destruction. So, but listen to this. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." Now, again, let's make sure we understand what it did not say. It did not say that money is the root of all evil. Now, it says your relationship with money, how you view money, where you prioritize money in your heart. It says when it's out of order, when money is above, you know, God and his purpose and light, now you've gotten over into a place of a love of money. It says, and that becomes the root, it says, of all kinds of evil here. You can trace now the evil actions and intentions and things that go on in our society somewhere down to the root of a love of money. You know, you start talking about the African European colonial slave trade. That was all a love of money. See, people think, well, it was about, you know, just devaluing people. Well, that's how things begin to manifest. But what was driving that was money. On all three continents, by the way. Not just here, not just in Europe, but in Africa too. It's money. Love of money is the root of all evil. So now, let's understand these basics. Depending upon the translation, the word money appears over 200 times in the Bible, not including specific references of currency that are in there. So a lot of times people say, well, you know, Bible doesn't really talk about money. Well, that's nowhere near true. I mean, there's various references to money, how you should handle your money, you know, things that we should do with our money, et cetera, all throughout the Word of God. Now, money is an amoral piece of paper, metal, or digital currency. So that's your fill in there. It's amoral, meaning it has no morality. It's not good or bad. It takes on, money always takes on the character of the owner. So watch this. If you are good, your money is good. If you are bad, have some kind of evil intention, then the money winds up taking on that same type of character. If you are impact, then your money makes impact. Money serves two main purposes for our lives. Just two. It's two basic purposes that our money serves. To spend or to give. That's it. You can start trying to hash through, you know, a bunch of other stuff, but no, it comes down to those two things, to give or to serve, I mean, or to spend. It's one of the two things you have to do. Well, someone said, well, you know, what about savings and investment? That's just money you haven't decided whether you're going to spend or give yet. You're eventually going to have to do something with it. If you keep it up to the point that you pass, then guess what happened? You decided to give something, to give all that you had left. You gave it to some family members or you gave it to the government. So it's just two main purposes for money. Spend it or give it. Take your pick. Now you have to do both. But knowing when to do, you know, one or the other is very, very key. Now, let's go to this particular passage of scripture, because this is where I want us to kind of hunker down a bit today. Luke chapter 16. I'm going to begin to read at verse 1. Says Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. So this is Jesus talking. He's explaining something to his disciples. He's trying to teach them a lesson. It says, one day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And then he says this, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Well, what Jesus is talking about here, it says you use your worldly resources. It says, use it to benefit others and make friends. Watch this. When you use your money to benefit others, you get friends. Come on, people like people that are generous. There are people, you know, that's in my life, not blood relatives and so forth. That's automatic. But there's some people that are not blood relatives that they've created favor, you know, with myself and my family. Because they just made it a point, not because we asked, they just made it a point to use their worldly resources to benefit us. And as a result, they got some friends until Jesus returned. No, listen. I'm not talking about God. I'm not going to let them fall because of what they have done. Now, a wrong mindset says, well, see, you should do that for everybody. Nope. Everybody hadn't created that favor. Everybody didn't use their resources to benefit. It's not that don't love everyone, but when someone is in need, watch this, that's been a blessing to you. I got it. There's some people, my wife and I, we'll empty out our bank account. With that, you ain't even got to explain nothing. I need X, Y, Z. Here it is. Jesus is saying here, listen, two lessons. We have to become more shrewd and intelligent in our financial handling. And then we need to learn how to use the resources that we have to benefit others. Because when you do so, you create a safety net for your life. See, it's a sad situation when you fall, you're in need, and you feel like you have nobody you can go to. Now, listen, I should say this. You know, we're not being a benefit to others so that later on I can be like, all right, now you owe me. No, that's the wrong motive. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not trying to use people. We're not trying to manipulate people. But just simply saying, hey, I want to be a benefit. I want to be a blessing. And if something were to happen to me, I realize there's some people I can call and say, hey, I need some help. And they would be glad to help. Lessons Jesus is trying to teach us. Now let's continue on here with our money essentials. We need to understand something about banks. Banks are in the business of making money, not necessarily to safeguard yours. So if I can be honest, you know, if you work at a bank, I'm not talking about you. I love you, but banks are not really your friend. Banks are a business. And they are in the business of making money. And here's the shrewd thing. And they make money not from anything that they produce. They make money off of our money. Now, there's three primary ways that banks make money. Number one is fees.
you know, different fees that they charge you for having, you know, accounts and so forth. That's real small. That's pennies. Truth be told, the bank don't even care about the fees. They don't care about the fees. They really don't want the fees. What they want is your money. Because now watch this. You know and I know, they'll tell you that, well, you know, there's a monthly fee, et cetera, et cetera. But you can avoid that if you keep your balance at X, Y, and Z. Well, see, what's the goal? They just want you to keep your money parked long enough where they can make great money off your money. So the incentive is we won't charge you to keep your money if you keep your money here at a certain level. So then we look at it and be like, well, praise the Lord. Then I'm going to keep my balance like that. And they're just like, thank you. Because now they're going to make some good money. The second way they make money is what we call the spread. The spread is the difference between the interest that they pay to depositors and the interest that they earn on the loans that they extend. So now we were talking about it, you know, 830. For a savings account deposit right now, the average is, I think, still under 1%. 1%. So you take $10,000 and put into a savings account right now, you are earning less than 1%. Now, let's flip that. If you also have a loan, let's just say, with the same bank for a mortgage, and let's just say you got great credit. You got great credit, so you got 3.85% interest rate. That's a good interest rate right now. 3.85, but wait a minute. You got in the bank $10,000, you know, in a savings account where you're earning less than 1%. You have a mortgage of $250,000 that you're paying almost 4%. Who you think making out? They're making great money off of you. But that's not even the biggest way banks really make money. The biggest way is through the investments that banks make. They take the deposits and then they trade them in the various world investment options, you know, be it stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, options, futures, Forex, cryptocurrency, precious metal, you know, all this particular stuff. They take that and they make investments and they get major returns. Listen. It is banking institutions that move the market. It's really not so much even individuals. There's a few individuals that can have that kind of impact, but for the most part, it's these banking institutions. You go to any major city, right here in Miami, what are the largest buildings downtown? Generally speaking, it's the banks and the insurance companies, because both of them are making money hand over fist. You know, right here in South Florida, you know, downtown, we got the Wells Fargo Center. We got the Sabadell Financial Center, which is also Barclays. We got the Southeast Financial Center. We got SunTrust Bank. Just right here. And then. The thing that's really, you know, funny, then you go to the next, you know, large city, and there they go again. It's like, where y'all getting all this money from? Well, here's an example for you. Goldman Sachs, which is one of the largest financial institutions in the country and in the world, it's stated that their net worth is $64 billion. I'm gonna tell you right now, that's disingenuous. It really is. It's disingenuous. And here's why I say that. Because in 2018 alone, and this wasn't abnormal, this is what they normally do. In 2018 alone, they had revenues of $36.6 billion. 1 year. Listen, that's over $100 million a day. That they're making money for your money and my money. We're talking about money essentials. What's the purpose of us talking about banks? Because we need to learn from these institutions. There is in the ocean, there's a fish. It's called a remora fish. It doesn't really live off the things in the water. What it does is it attaches itself generally to sharks, and it just lives off of what the shark eats. Parasites on the shark, and even what the shark then goes and eats. It's like it doesn't do anything but just stays attached to the big old shark. Well, from a money standpoint, it's wisdom for you and I to know how to attach ourselves to the banks, these sharks. Follow the current and path that they're taking. Oh, yeah, and you may not be able to get the big old chunks like they're getting $100 million, you know, a day. But man, wouldn't an extra $1,000 a day start to change your life? Money essentials. You're well able and capable. Notice in Mark chapter 5, Jesus says this. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the rulers of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Listen, this is a great message for you and I. When a contrary report comes, you're up to you. When something comes up and it's trying to challenge your dream, you have to respond to it. The moment this was said, Jesus immediately, you know, perks up and says, hey, big fella, hey, listen, don't believe that. Don't be afraid. Believe this. Now, listen. He wasn't talking about just believe that everything's going to be all right. Come on, throw that out. What he's really saying here is, believe that you have a father who loves you. Believe in the love and character of Almighty God that he is not going to let you fall. And as a result of that, you can know that what you came desiring for me, Jesus is really saying to Jairus, you can still get it even though they said your daughter's dead. He says, so don't be afraid. Believe in the one who loves you. When you see here on your notes, this is one of the first things that must happen in order to create a better financial future is you must break the spirit of fear regarding your money. You got to break an attitude of fear. Never want to take risk. Never want to do anything, you know, with the money. You got to break that. You got to break that and live in this place of knowing that my father has me. Now this is where you have to come from a place of, if I can almost put it this way, forget about God. And embrace your father. So you have a father who loves you. Come on now. Any parent worth their salt wants the best for their children. Most of us as parents, I'd probably say everybody that's in here, as parents, we actually want better for our children. How much more? How much more you think your father that loves you? He's a good, good father. See, so you have to dispel the fear. Have to get rid of it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this. Let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Shun greed. Be financially ethical. Being content with what you have. For he has said, watch this, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not! Exclamation point. God says, you got to get this. I'm your father. I'm not leaving you without support. I got you in this. But son, daughter, I can't blow and bring increase with nothing you give me. And when I say give me, I'm not talking about offerings and so forth. I'm talking about now financial decisions that are sound and wise. Here, you know, God promised back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he says, I will bless all the work of your hands. That's good news for some, bad news for others. Because some people won't do anything with their hands. Some people are still stuck in a place of laziness. Turn to that person next to you and say, you got quiet, so now I'm nervous. Come on, now there's no lazy people in here. None of us. Yeah, God blesses the work of our hands. That means, listen, we got to do something. We have to give God something to bless. Notice what you see there in your notes. We have a father who loves us immeasurably, and therefore he is committed to always supply. However, the supply is connected with him. We can't leave him and expect to experience the benefits of his supply. Nor can we live disconnected from him and expect for him to just mail it in wherever we are. Like the prodigal son, you see in Luke chapter 15, our supply will eventually run out. But now, watch this. There are financial principles that you can follow and not have any relationship with God. You don't have to go to church one day in your life. You don't have to pray one time. You can follow some financial principles, and you can be financially wealthy. So some people are just like, so what do I need God for? See, that's where your mindset is off. You see it here on your notes. Even if we're financially frugal, wise, and we work all the principles, we make everything last and make it grow, we've already lost our greatest treasure. Because the greatest treasure is not the money, ladies and gentlemen. Greatest treasure is life with God, life with your Father. Because I got news for you. That individual who can make it all work and make all this money, they're eventually going to come into something that their money cannot get them out of. A lot of times they find that out on this side. But even if they don't find it out on this side, they're going to step into something where they realize that there comes now this assessment, use that term, church term would be a judgment, where God's not going to be checking the financial portfolio. And so you worth how much? Oh, you're good then. Come on in. That's not how it works. It's about who we are, who we are connected with. Greatest treasure is life with our Father. So dispel the fear and get busy doing what God's called you to do. Let me conclude this right here just for today. Let me give you some practical things again because we got to walk in this. Dave Ramsey, someone, a kind of Christian, financial counselor for a number of years now, started, what's called Financial Peace University. And so for years, he's been teaching these seven baby steps to really kind of, build wealth and get into wealth. The first one is this, is just set aside $1,000, for case of an emergency. So it's just $1,000 emergency fund. You set that aside and everything else you begin to use for a purpose, which you'll see here in step number two. But keep this in mind, an emergency fund is just that, it's an emergency. It's not an emergency if you hadn't been out to eat in 2 weeks. It's like, I ain't been out, I'm telling you, I ain't been. I'm about to go treat myself. Don't you touch that money for that. It's not an emergency. Get out of debt using the debt snowball. So you pay everything off except for your house. You focus on anything else you have, pay it off. Cars, whatever, credit card, pay it all off. Pay it all off and keep it off. That becomes another thing. Pay it off and keep it off. But you're using, what we call a debt snowball technique, where you take, generally speaking, your lowest balance bill or maybe your extreme highest interest rate bill, and you attack that with every extra dollar that you have. Once you've paid that off, then you take that money that you use to attack that. You merge it with another bill that you were paying, maybe the minimum. You add that together, and you start attacking that one. Once you're done with that one, you then go to the next one that you was paying the minimum to, but now you bring your snowball, and you keep making it bigger. So you pay everything off. Thirdly, is fully fund your emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. So at this particular stage, all of your debts are gone other than the house. So now you're just talking about you have basic living expenses, your mortgage, and now food, insurance, and things of that nature. So depending upon where you live or whatnot, that can range. Maybe your monthly expenses are $2,000, and maybe your monthly expenses are $15,000. It just depends upon, where you live. It can be more than that. The issue is when you are funding your emergency plan is that you're then saying, all right, I want to make sure I have at least 3 to 6 months. If something happened, I didn't work and so forth, I got 3 to 6 months I can tap into to be able to pay for everything. So if it's $2,000, you would need to have, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 in the bank. If your monthly expenses are $15,000, then you want to have a minimum of $45,000 and probably more than that, obviously in the bank. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before. I pray that you have. Well, the first one, I hope you have. Maybe you have. Where you've kind of looked at your bank account, maybe like you was on the computer, you looked at your bank account, and then you wanted to slap the computer. Anybody ever had that before? You don't look at it like, oh, man, get out of here. Close it up. Close it up. Dear God. I've had that. I've also had, though, times where I've opened up the bank account and I said, ooh, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, the latter is better than the first. Come on now, you put 3 to 6 months of, you know, I mean, come on, man, you get a little pimp in your walk. You know what I'm talking about? Your chest get out a little further, you know, a little bit more, you know, bass getting your voice. How you doing? I'm good. I'm telling you, I'm good. Because there's money in the bank. It's always better when there's money in the bank. After you do this, save 15% of your income for retirement. Man, please, be with me on this in a couple of weeks. Going to be dealing with the whole matter of retirement because I think we see it the wrong way. You know, we use one particular book. You can go out and get it if you like. In our leadership training center, you know, for our finance class called Inspired to Retire. As by Chris Hogan. He also worked with Dave Ramsey. And so he just really just kind of gets into having the right mindset of really what retirement is. So you should get that. We're gonna deal with it here in the upcoming weeks. But you want to save 15% of your income, you know, for this. Save for your children's college. Save for your children's college. Pay off the house. Build wealth. And then give outrageously. Watch this. Because you done paid off everything. All you have now are just the real basic living expenses of, you know, like I said, some insurance maybe, you know, food, obviously, and all that kind of stuff. So now, watch this. You're just sitting in life with just money. So then you just decide, do I spend it or I give it? And you just go spend some. Do some traveling. Like, Pastor, I see you in about 3 months. I'm about to go around the world. Okay. You know, enjoy, listen to that. And, you know, but then you're also looking at it like, yeah, but now look what I can do. Look at the impact I can make. See, because remember, money's not good, bad, evil. It takes on the character of the person, the owner. Oh, see, now I can make impact. I can make impact at a much greater level, praise God. Come on. We can accelerate the manifestation of our campus. Oh, yeah. That's what you do. By how we handle our money, it can have such a huge change. But now here's what the average American does. We get increased 20%, so then we increase our spending 30%. I deserve a blessing. I got news for you. Generally speaking, we'll deal with this a little bit. Generally speaking, debt is not a blessing. So you're really not looking at the debt, you're just driving a car. But what God is looking at is like, see. And see, and then we'll say things like this, but God, I want to do so much more for you. Say, really? We'll sell the car. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'll tell you, that's not from God. I know that right now. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord. With that increase, I mean, think about it. With that increase that they had, and they made wise decisions with the increase, that now they were able to not only be sustained for the 7 years of famine, but they got wealthy during the famine. Now, see, that's the real thing. That's the real thing. See, now, this is going to sound funny to your ears, but when you do this the right way, you look forward to economic downturns. Because that's when money is really made. Most individuals are just not prepared to take advantage of it. I'll never forget this. This is a bonehead money decision that I made. I'll expose myself. Pastor Ron, she ain't on it. In 2008 economic downturn, in Detroit, where I'm from, houses were going for nothing. So I went up there, you know, one day, just with the intention, you know, going around, went with someone who, you know, had some houses, and they were showing me some. It's like, this one might be a good to buy, so forth. I'm talking about houses that were normally $150,000, $200,000, that were now $30,000. There were some houses like $5,000, so on and so forth. Now, watch this. And this is one I had to kick myself for. There were some other things going on, and I left, and I said, I'm going to wait. It was fear. It was fear. That was one. I was like, And I looked back at it like, You know. But now I'm just like, all right, bring me another economic downturn. See what happened. I tell you. See, most people... Well, I shouldn't say most. A lot of people get nervous for the economic downturn. I'm going to tell you right now, there's some folks like, you know, Warren Buffett and others, they can't wait. They can't wait. As a matter of fact, they're trying to do stuff to stimulate. Think about that one. Okay, all right, I'll stop there. Where do we end on this? Yeah, okay, so real quick. Wow, we're over time. Make wise financial decisions and increase your FQ. That's your financial quotient. Please increase your FQ. Number one, invest in your financial education. You got to get smarter. You have to become smarter where your money's concerned. And listen, you're not going to pray yourself smart. So yes, I want us to pray. Prayer is our foundation. But then you need to go read some books, take some classes, get on the computer, go talk to some people. Take an open and honest inventory of your current financial condition. Please, please do that this week. Ask yourself, what are your assets? What are your liabilities and debts? How prepared are you for an emergency right now? If something were to happen, how could we handle this? Take an honest inventory. And then number three comes in with just like what you heard me say about myself. Don't allow regret from poor decisions yesterday to paralyze you today. You know, see, I look back then to 2009, I want to kick myself, but, you know, beating myself up not going to make anything better for my future. So I got to learn from that, and I got to get over the regret and move on and know that my Father loves me. So I may have missed that opportunity, but he's got more coming my way. Develop more than one income stream. I mean, there's tons of opportunities just on the internet where you just make extra money. Okay, you make an extra $50 a day. Oh, you know, I got to take all this time. You just made an extra $50 a day. You made an extra $250 a week or whatever. Take the time. Take the time. Develop more than one income stream. Avoid renting and leasing. Build equity. You know, yeah, there's a place for renting, you know, so forth. But for the most part, you want to try to get into the place of owning as quickly as you can. Now, I say own kind of tongue-in-cheek because if you have a mortgage, you really don't own the house. This is my house. Don't pay the mortgage for 3 months. And the real owners will manifest quickly. You know, it's a better position than renting because at least now, some of the money that you are sending in is going towards building equity and wealth. Some. It is. If you have a mortgage, here's a good piece of wisdom. Every month, pay something extra towards the principal. Whatever you can do, pay something extra towards it. If it's just $50 a month, more, just give them another $50 a month in that place where it says additional principal. Because depending upon what size mortgage you have and interest rate, you could be paying well over $1,000 a month in interest. I told you these banks are clean enough. You could be well over that. Easy, just depending upon the size of your mortgage. Pay more towards it. Here's another little tidbit to go along with that. Most of us in here probably get paid every 2 weeks, most in here. So that equates to 26 pay periods throughout the course of the year. Now you divide 26 by 2, that's really 13. You're really getting paid for 13 months, not 12. So why not take that extra month of payment that you have to pay another mortgage? That would be an extra whatever that is nothing but principal. Oh, boy. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take advantage of free resources, housing grants, educational scholarships, Come on now, life insurance that they're passing out at your job, you know, hey, here's a $2,500 policy for nothing, take it. They want you to buy more, and then maybe you need to have more, but at least take the free one. Take advantage of employee contributions towards, you know, 401k or, you know, similar investment vehicles. Take advantage of that. If your company is going to match, you know, up to 6%, then you give 6% towards it. You invest 6% towards it. Don't do 10%. Somebody say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put 10%. I'm really going to grow mine. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that, because I'm going to show you, you know, later on that, you know, those things are not the most lucrative investment vehicles. So you got extra that you can do it with. You should do some things on your own. Take that extra 4%, do some things on your own. Money matters. God wants our money to matter and make an absolute difference. You see some links, websites, you know, for you to go to, you know, to study, read, and just improve and increase your financial quotient. I'm over time. So, Father, we thank you now. Thank you for helping us to transform more in your image and after the likeness, Daddy. Help us, Daddy, to make wise decisions with our money. We're listening unto you, and we're listening unto the practical elements that you have laid out for us, Father. Help us to do our homework this week, to not just simply just kind of be inspired by a message today, but to do some things to really improve our financial peace. We give you all honor and glory for